Darius, this is Prince, and I just decided I want more Prince today. So that's a Prince cut. Can we do at least one Prince cut per hour? Can we do that the rest of the show? That's something you can do for me? Thank you very much. That's Darius Dammer, and I'm Danny Ruye. That's Toby Altizer. Strober, Prince was a musical artist. Anything on that? Thumbs up? You don't know. He's a child. Welcome back. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. We're going to give you a chance to win $100 in fan cash at the end of this segment. Darius, at the end of the segment, that's what we're going to do. We're exclusively sponsored by the law firm of Condori and Morad, estate planning, elder law, real estate transactions, probate administration. Their attorneys are always there to protect you and your family's assets. Schedule a free consultation with their team today by visiting kmlawyers.com. And be sure to let them know that we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. Want to jump now to the Rude Guest Hotline. Rude, the most reliable heating and air conditioning products in the DMV. Mr. Substack himself, our guy Ben Standing, kind enough to join us here on a Friday. Ben, good afternoon, buddy. How are you?
Danny, I'm doing great. The Friday part is always makes life better. Thanks for having me.
Indeed, sir. All right, so give me kind of a 30,000-foot view, preview this game tomorrow, kind of what's on the line, who's in, who's out, anywhere you want to take it with your notebook.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Dan Quinn told us there'll be a fair amount of starters or have whatever phrasing he used. I think defensively that'll probably be the case. I can see the back seven, other than Trey Amos is out, kind of like all the main players going. You know, Frankie Luvu is the green dot guy, but you actually have to, you know, do it in a game, right? And have, you know, go with Durante Jones and go through that. So you'd think he would play. The defensive line is maybe where it gets trickier. You didn't have Owe or Chase on at the end of the week in practice with injuries. So they're probably out. Deron Payne was out yesterday with some sort of minor injury. I can imagine him being out. And, you know, you already lost Johnny Newton. Tim Settle's already out. So could be a little thin up there relative to what you're hoping for to be there in week one. The offensive side is obviously where it gets a little more interesting because, you know, with Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn saying we'll see who else is out there with him to make that call. He'd already ruled out Nick Allegretti. So I heard Logan Paulson make this point that maybe if there really is a shooter drop, it's perhaps – what running backs do they have available for pass protection? And you know Rashad White's out. Jeremy McNichols is out. That would leave essentially Bill, whose pass blocking I think has improved, but that was one of the weaknesses last year. Two rookies and then Craig Reynolds who just showed up. And I don't know the Bill's going to play. It looks like, and this is not being alarmist, but it looks like he pulled up a little bit at the end of a play in practice yesterday, but he seemed in good spirits afterwards, so maybe no biggie. But that may be the wonder is how many guys have to be missing for them to say, yeah, we're not going to let Jaden get out there. I kind of think they want him to get out there. You got to go through this. You know, you got to play football at some point to get better at football. But obviously, a lot of risk there. We all get that.
With the offense, let's assume that Jaden does play. What are some of the things that you're looking for in live action against another defense?
Well, I mean, you know, at a very, like, basic level, like getting in and out of the huddle, do they look at, do they have any confusion with the play calls, being under center? I mean, I've been watching all these things in practice. The plays in and out a little harder to tell in practice what's going on. But, like, let's see that happen with the real game going in, crowd noise and things like that. Beyond that, you know, with Jaden specifically, you know, does it look like he is – got a good feeling for where the ball needs to go? I think the answer to that will be yes, based on everything we've seen in practice and just knowing the skill set. But again, it is new. Is everybody on the same page going up against another team, et cetera? And I think, you know, with the receivers, forget the fact that there's all these battles down the line. If, in fact, everybody plays to see Jaden with McLaurin and Diggs for the first time in this way, I think it could be a lot of fun. Diggs has been something of a revelation, I would say, in camp, just watching him. He's just so smooth and quick. It's just like, oh, whoa, that's like a professional wide receiver right there. They haven't had one of those opposite 17 ever. So yeah, it's really interesting to see. And, you know, obviously there's questions on the line, but that'll be the case, you know, no matter who's a quarterback.
So in terms of the offensive line and kind of the work in progress, everybody's rankings outside, those don't matter, of course, but it's, you know, just a kind of a talking point and a way of kind of getting into it. Just give me kind of your feel about how impressive they've been, unimpressive they've been, the story from the joint practice with Miami, what you're hoping to see tomorrow in terms of run push, everything. Where are we at with the O-line?
I mean, obviously we start with, you know, no Laramie Tunsil, independent of everything else, massive loss, you know, other than the quarterback, you know, I think it was probably the most indispensable guy on the team. So we start with that.
Yeah.
I think Brandon Coleman's been fine. I think Brandon Coleman will be fine. I think Brandon Coleman has potential to be more than fine, but I don't think he's going to be some sort of, like, liability out there. I think the issues start becoming, though, to the right of him, specifically the center position and the left guard position. Center, obviously, Allegretti, you know, he's not going to play this week. If we assume that the starters don't play next week, that means he and Jaden Daniels will, you know, again, not counting a practice, and I'm not even really going to count a joint practice if they do against the Ravens, they won't have had a live snap together going into the season, right? So that's not ideal, to say the least. And then also not ideal is what are the options without him and or without Allegretti if that happens. I mean, whether he plays week one or not, he could get hurt in week three or week eight or whatever. So that to me is concerning. And then with Chris Paul, look, he definitely made big strides last year, especially as a pass blocker. There's no argument. But he also played last year with Laramie Tunsil to his left and an established center and Tyler Biadasz to his right. And now you're looking at Brandon Coleman, who's, you know, again, I think he'll be fine, but that's different than, like, you have a guy that can, like, be your big brother over there the way Tunsil was. And then at center, you know, even if Allegretti is there, like, you know, it's still relatively new to him. I mean, at least in terms of playing it a lot in the NFL. I know he's played it in his career, and the coaches and Adam Peters talked about how his smarts is going to be a real key for the line, no doubt. But, you know, for Chris Paul, that's, like, a huge difference in who's around him. So I think those two things concern me. Does Josh Connerly need to improve some more? Yeah, I think that's pretty fair to say. He talked openly about he's got to do better with his hands and some of his sets. But, okay, I think that's a work in progress. Sam Cosmi, you know, is one of the better guards in the league now that he's back healthy. But that left guard, center spot, and the depth, I think, are real legit concerns at this point.
So you wrote about Bill recently. What do you make of that running back room? How do you think that they're going to look, and how do they divvy some up that share up?
I mean, look, I think Bill's had a really good summer. I mean, you know, I think I heard you guys talking earlier about, you know, they haven't been able to run much, and that's probably fair, like, between the tackles. But Bill's been able to break a few things outside. He's been a real interesting play as a receiver guy, just catching passes out of the flat. You know, he does give you that explosive ability. So I think if they're comfortable with his pass blocking, I think he could be the clear majority guy out of the backfield. Now, again, maybe that's 60-40, but I mean, I don't, you know, if we're going to compare a split as 50-50, Rashad White certainly will have a role as the passing down back. And, you know, from there, we'll see. Katron Allen showed he can be the power guy in this last game, but, you know, still a rookie. You know, I don't know how much of a threat he'll be in the passing game. And maybe it's just a spot, short yardage stuff here and there. Jeremy McNichols, we got to see where he's at with his injury, you know, or let alone are they going to keep a fourth running back. So that's to be determined. But so I think, you know, the Kroski Merritt and White part, I think is reasonable, but, you know, they're going to need help, obviously, from the line, because I don't think they're just like two bell cows. You're like, okay, just give them the ball and they'll be fine. They got to get the line to do its job, and obviously that's going to be one of the questions.
Last man standing on the old Substack. Our buddy Ben Standing joins us, covers the local 53 here on Grant and Danny. Tobes in for GP. Bit of a hacky question, so forgive me in advance, but who's got the most on the line tomorrow? You know, whether it's a starting role, making the club, et cetera, who's got something big, kind of a prove it day in this best dress rehearsal?
Yeah, I mean, I know the Detroit, like, Jared Goff's not playing, but, like, they're going to have starters, so I guess, like, depending on who the starters are, right, that for Detroit, that could be a factor. I mentioned Chris Paul. I do think, like, let's see what that looks like in the middle. You know, they don't have a ton of other options, but you do have Andrew Wiley, who's played guard. So I'm not saying that Chris Paul is on the verge of getting benched. I'm just saying let's see him have a good game in the, you know, without the Tunsil scenario, as we just discussed a minute ago. I think the receiver room is still fascinating, because once you get past the top two guys and McLaurin and Diggs, and let's just, you know, put Antonio Williams as sort of a separate category as a rookie. Everybody else, I think, is still kind of up in the air for roles and spots. You know, are they going to keep seven? Even if they do, you know, who's out? Van Jefferson, Luke McCaffrey, Traylon Burks. I think that's going to be huge. The problem, of course, is whether Jaden Daniels plays one or two series, he's not going to play the next umpteen, and those will be played by two dudes that have never thrown a pass in the NFL and may never. So that's going to be harder to evaluate the receiver room, I would say. for sure. And then I think in the secondary, you know, the backup safety spots, I think there's still a little bit of question there. I feel like Will Harris is falling back a bit. Well, we'll see. And then at corner, without Trey Amos, you know, can Mikey Sanders still, Amik Robertson, despite limited size, if they play, Robertson's certainly playing, will they show enough to be viable threats on the perimeter, or are they just going to be viewed as slot guys? And if that's the case, which I don't think it will be, but in terms of, like, playing it a fair amount, you got to get Trey Amos back soon. Rasul Douglas is interesting, and we'll see if they keep a fifth guy. So I think those are some of the names to keep an eye on.
You mentioned the safety spot. I want to ask you a little bit more about that. Will Harris does seem like he's running more with the two. Seems like Revo's going to be a starting safety alongside Nick Cross. What do you make of that decision? I mean, Revo's had a long career. He's played sparingly in, you know, in spurts on defense, but has never really taken the full complement for an extended period of time. What do you make of them going with him, it seems like, and Will Harris kind of taking a step back? Where does Tyler Owens fit? And those sorts of things with that safety room.
Yeah, again, I think I heard you talk about this before. I think we're on the same page. Like, it's been fun to watch, like, the last few weeks. It's like, okay, what's going to happen? Is Quan Martin any trouble? What's up with Will Harris? Oh, look, Jeremy Rees is coming up on the outside. Oh, wait, Jeremy Rees is playing more with the first team. Oh, wait, Jeremy Rees isn't even playing in the preseason game. I guess he's starting. Oh, wait, Jeremy Rees is starting? The guy who nobody wanted to play at safety for all these years, who I thought always should have been playing a bit more. And I'm not saying it's the wrong answer, but it is kind of wild that all of a sudden the guy who nobody was going to even was even making the team, let alone playing defense, or, you know, that guy's starting and we're just kind of rolling with that. Okay. So I think that is definitely a legit question. Who would challenge him, though? I mean, like, I've always kind of thought Quan Martin was better off playing closer to the line of scrimmage as, like, the nickelback. That's when he came out of college. It seemed like he was better at. But they've been using him a lot at free safety. And so I guess he's the challenge still for Jeremy Rees, or if Jeremy Rees, you know, has any hiccups starting the year. But I don't know that that's ideal either. I think Tyler Owens to me is the most interesting for sure. I mean, he's the freakish athlete. He's huge, incredibly fast for his size. And this is year three. It feels like they're starting to hope that he can be some sort of a defensive weapon as a matchup play or what have you. And if that happens, I think then we could get – the secondary could get really interesting. But until then, yeah, it's Jeremy Rees and the slowest ascension from guy always getting cut to starter in the NFL history, I think.
Really is remarkable. Ben, Sonny Styles, week one of the preseason, you know, did read and react linebacker things. I understand it's not a regular season game, and you're not really going to be able to take the car to the garage and put it on the racetrack, but – if that's all that ever is, it'll be disappointing to me. Are we going to see more Styles, more unleashed Styles? Just kind of walk me through what you've seen from him so far and what you expect tomorrow.
Yeah, you know, again, with last week he played without any of the main pieces on the defensive line. Johnny Newton was out there, but that was about it. And obviously, you know, you want those guys up front to, you know, take on the blockers, giving the linebackers lanes. It felt like Styles was maybe overrunning some plays, and then the offensive linemen were getting in or some blockers getting in and kind of taking him out. Dan Quinn said this week he wants to see Styles used more as a blitzer. So I think to your point, if that holds, we should see a more aggressive version of him. I think that the other part is because they're not showing everything, you know, I'm sure there's more that we'll see with his game than what we have seen so far. I think he'll be fine. I'm not too worried about anything. You know, the question is he going to hit the potential this year? You know, I guess that's going to be the question. I can't sit here and say definitively yes. You know, they may have said Frankie Luvu was the green dot guy no matter what. So maybe that's the case. But, like, we kind of never had a situation where Styles was truly vying for it in camp. And I'm not saying that's a knock on where he is at, but it's a choice that they made that I don't think most of us were assuming was going to be made when they drafted him. So if that's a sign that he still has to progress a little bit in that sort of communication part, so be it. But, things to do. But I've been generally pleased with what I've seen. And hopefully, you know, he'll take a step forward once the games turn real.
Is there anyone you're watching that could take Johnny Newton's spot, seeming he's going to miss most of the season with that pec injury? Is there anybody at defensive tackle that you're watching that, I mean, Cowart looked good in the first game. Is there anybody else you're watching tomorrow to see if they're going to maybe make their way onto the 53?
I mean, two of the guys I've picked up off the street in the last few days, and Ricky Barber, who played two games last year, like one of those guys. I think Ricky Barber is the one interesting to me. It does seem like, you know, they kept him around last year. He had a sack in the two games he played. And, you know, it seemed like, and from what I saw and I'm just talking to some people, that Barber was the one that maybe sort of stood out a little bit in that game even more than Newton before the injury. So I guess there's hope there. Now, is he big enough to play nose tackle? Not saying Newton was either, but just, is he big enough to do that? I don't know. He's about 290. I think they did try him in there a little bit. So if he could do that, that would be huge, because beyond Tim Settle, I mean, Shai Tuttle's been a guy for that, but, you know, they could use a little bit more there. Otherwise, you know, he could slot behind Payne and Kinlaw, some type of a backup. The other two guys, Mo Hurst and you mentioned Coward, like, they've been in the league, but, you know, there's a reason why they were still able to be picked up midway through August. So I'm not going to go too crazy on that, but somebody there needs to step up, because, you know, losing Newton at a minimum, you know, takes away from some of their depth for sure.
Ben Standing with us here on G&D. Is there anybody who we're not considering who might be in a bit of roster trouble?
Well, obviously, like, one of the receivers that we discussed is going to be in some trouble. Now, I've largely been saying I think the three draft picks, meaning Williams, Lane, and McCaffrey, should be fine, and I think that's probably still the case. But the more we've gone through camp, if we just look at him as a receiver, I think Luke McCaffrey, we've seen some of the same slide back we saw in the past. Like, creating separation is not always his strength. Now, he does a lot for them. Opposite kick returner, was very good last year. Just a general special teams player in general, he helps there. I don't know that he would be in trouble, but if we're saying, like, they ultimately want to keep the better receiver, you know, I could see them going Van Jefferson over Luke. So maybe there. Beyond that, and we talked about Will Harris. I don't know if there's anybody else that's, like, super obvious. I guess we'll have to see what happens with Jeremy McNichols in terms of if he is hurt and he's not able to go week one. You know, do they put him on IR? Do they release him knowing they'll bring him back? You know, what do they do with that? That could be one to watch as well.
Nikki put out an extensive list of all the injuries this team is dealing with currently in training camp. It seems like most of these, aside from the guys we already know that are going on IR, like Johnny Newton, Laremy Tunsil, it seems like most of these guys are expected to be back for the season. But is there anybody that you're looking at and saying, maybe not so fast, like, there might be a little more concern with what they're dealing with?
Well, I guess just Trey Amos. I mean, on the surface, like, he sprained his ankle in practice covering Terry McLaurin coming down on the play, except that it's the same leg in which he suffered a broken leg last year, and then he was on the PUP list to start camp because he was dealing with, like, soft tissue soreness. Now this, he's been out. So, you know, maybe the sprained ankle is just, you know, it is not related to anything else, but when you combine everything else, and he was out for so long, you do wonder at least a little bit what's going on here. There's no reason to be an alarmist because they haven't said that we should be, essentially. But if you're asking me to somebody, I do wonder about that situation just because he basically missed, you know, all of camp.
Ben, we're going to ask these questions on the phone here after we let you go. Who are you more bullish on the Washington roster than everyone else seems to be? Like, who do you think is in line for a breakout? Who do you think is in line for a better season than maybe some of the prognosticators, the blowhards, the bloviators like yours truly are counting on?
Yeah, I mean, in terms of, like, making the roster, I've been bullish on Van Jefferson all this time. Look, it's possible he doesn't. I mean, he's 30. And, you know, I feel like Stephon Diggs kind of repeats a lot of the things that he does, but he has just been an incredibly smooth operator. Dan Quinn has gushed about him repeatedly. I just don't know where there's room, but I would say I'm more bullish on him than some others.
But I just mean for the season, not just for making the team. Like, who's going to have a better season than people like me think?
Yeah. Well, again, this is relatively smallish, but I think Ben Sinnott is poised to have. I mean, look, he can't have it less year. No offense to Ben.
One is more than zero.
Yeah, but I just think, to me, he was the poster child of whatever disconnect existed between Adam Peters and Cliff Kingsbury. Like, Cliff Kingsbury's offense does not have a H-back type guy, and Adam Peters, when they drafted him, like, hey, this guy reminds me of a George Kittle, Kyle Juszczyk combination. Ben Sinnott is a hell of an athlete. I think he can block maybe a little bit better than people think. I think he can make plays in the mid-range. And, you know, them using 12 and 13 personnel as much as they do, you know, I think he's got a shot to be a factor. Now, once they added Diggs, though, you know, I think the second or third tight end, they may see their opportunities go down a little bit. But I think Ben Sinner is somebody that could have a pretty decent year, all things considered. So, and I guess, I don't know if this is like a take, but like, I think because Rashad White is here, there's been maybe a little bit of questioning of Bill, where is this going to go? Like I said, I've been fooled in training camp before, as we all have. He got bigger. We've seen that. I thought he was a good pass catcher last year, but he looks to be improved on that regard. Same with the pass blocking. And I think that to an extent, his potential to be more than just a 50-50 split can raise the ceiling of the offense in ways that I don't know that others can, because they just haven't had the huge big plays out of the backfield or guys that can do that while being available for any down. And if that's reasonable, if he can avoid the fumbles and all that, I think Bill could be positioned for a big year. And then, yeah, again, big is all relative. I'm not saying go draft him in the first round of fantasy, but I mean, a pretty good year. And again, I think that could raise the ceiling of what this offense can do.
Well, Ben, you're going to make me rack my brain because you stole my answer. I was going to say Bill, so I appreciate you taking my points for me and appreciate you hopping on with us.
Awesome, guys. Sorry about that, Toby. I appreciate that.
Yeah, first of all, how dare you? Thank you, Ben. Have a good weekend.
See you,
buddy. There he goes. That is Ben Sinek. That's how we do it. You heard the question. You answer it. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067 is the number to answer that question. Who's going to have a bigger season than you think? But here's what we're going to do right now, this second, as soon as I get the right thing up, and it's this. It's time for Fan Cash Friday. Fan Cash Friday is your power by Fanatics Sportsbook, America's fastest growing sportsbook. Be the 10th caller at 800-636-1067 for your chance to win $100 in Fan Cash from Fanatics Sportsbook. Winning hits different here. Who's going to have a bigger season than you think? We'll do that next. G&D here on the Fan. Toby in for GP. Strobes, Darris on the production of this Bad Jackson. Right now, our Fanatics Fan Cash winner this week is William in Germantown. You are on the Fan. William, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's up? How you doing?
I'm very well. How are you? That's more important. You've just won something. How cool is that?
Oh, yeah, it's very cool. Very excited. Thank you very much.
I appreciate it, man. Thanks for checking out the show. Thanks for listening, and thank you for tuning in. Good luck. Don't spend it all in one place. Actually, do. I mean, it's Fanatics, the world of Fanatics. That's where you're going. That's kind of how that works. Yeah. So the question, and I want you guys' feedback before we go to winning off the field at 345, Beltway Blitz at 4. We're very busy. We're very swamped.
Yeah,
we have a lot of things
going
to do.
On.
Who are you more bullish on than everybody else? Like, you're hearing me, and you're like, you're so negative, I hate your dumb face, your cheeks are rosy, and you're way fatter than you used to be, and you go on vacation, you gain too much weight, we don't like you, and stop telling people how good you used to be, you're almost 47, we hate you, Danny. Like, a lot of people are like that. Maybe? No? No one's like that? And everybody just looked down. Okay, point is, you're tired of some of the negativity. Who are you bullish on? Who are you positive about? Who's going to have a bigger season than the prognosticators, than the naysayers and the rankers who don't like this team very much right now are saying? Who's going to have a breakout year? Maybe it's Pro Bowl. Maybe it's something else. Who do you like a lot? 800-636-1067.
So I tipped my hand a little bit on this. Ben Standig stole my answer. My answer was going to be Bill. I feel like nonstop, every time I come back from practice, I'm in here in studio. I think, and you can confirm this, Danny, I talk about Bill at least multiple times a day.
You do.
Like, I talk about him all the time.
So what does it look like for you, the breakout, right? Because he was pretty good last year, 800 yards on the ground. What does that look like?
Definitely over 1,000 yards, and I think he's someone that people are like, oh, man, there's more in the tank, especially as a pass catcher. That's the thing that stood out to me. So yesterday, John Keim put out a video. I retweeted it at @Toby_Altizer on X. And you can see him catching the ball over the shoulder, just soft hands, someone out of the backfield. He ran that exact same sort of route, exact same sort of play in the scrimmage portion with the defender draped all over him, makes the catch in the back corner of the end zone. I think he's going to be a great pass catcher. I think this type of run scheme fits him, assuming they're able to block it up. And that's the big question. We talked about that a little bit earlier, Danny. But this outside zone where your vision and that burst is something that can work in your favor, I think people are going to fall in love watching this guy play football. Just, it's not that people didn't already like him last season and what he was able to do, but I think if he gets the appropriate amount of carries, I think you're talking about a guy that's well over 1,000 yards on the ground and someone that can chip in through the air as well. And someone that, like, JP talked about this the other day, JP Finley, mm-hmm. like, not that it matters that much, but people are talking like fantasy and like he's way down. I think he's like a RB2 type fantasy running back for those that really care about that sort of thing. And I don't think he's being talked about in that sort of vein, where he's someone who's going to have the appropriate touches, the type of impact, and you're going to look back and go, man, they really found a diamond in the rough with this guy.
So there's reasons why not in terms of fantasy impact. Rashad White's presence, yep. I wonder what that looks like. I'm going to ask you that in a second. But the other part is they just didn't seem to trust him both to catch the ball and on passing downs. And that's going to limit your fantasy upside in that regard. What about Rashad White? Because I'm arguing early season, it's going to be 50-50, I think, in terms of snap counts. But you don't see it that way.
I think it could early season, but I think the way that Bill plays compared to Rashad White, and again, this is something that we've seen at camp, and you can be fooled by these sorts of things, but if there's a guy that stood out at camp in the running back spot, you would choose Bill. If there's a guy who has not stood out at camp, I would say Rashad White. And it's not to say that Rashad White hasn't done anything. It's just you're not like, oh.
You're not wowed.
Wow. You know, mm-hmm. there's number one. It's, oh, man, Bill made another play. And then, okay, Rashad White's now in on this rep. Like, that sort of thing. There's going to be a role. You don't go out and sign him and what his pedigree is as a pass catcher. But I think that Bill is just going to be too good where you're like, I don't know that we can not have this guy on the football field. And I think there's still questions for him in pass protection, but as a pass catcher, I think his hands have been one of the top three or four storylines in all the camp, just the stuff that he's been able to do with his hands. And I think this scheme really fits what he's going to do. So I think for those two reasons, he's going to be my breakout guy.
My guy, I feel like signed here and everyone, okay, he's here. And then I haven't heard his name mentioned again. I think this dude, if I'm right about what this defense is, I know what you are, I know what you're not. I think this defense, and I think this player specifically because of his skill set, because he's fast, he can move around well, I think he can hit you. I think Nick Cross might have an awesome season. So the way defensive back works, it's really hard to get, you know, sort of Pro Bowl nods at safety. Like if you don't end up with like three interceptions returned for a touchdown or like a Sean Taylor pick up the fumble in the scrum and go and dive across the end zone. It's hard to kind of crack through, right? But this is somebody that had over 260 tackles combined over the last two seasons. Multiple sacks as a blitzer, has picked up fumbles, has forced them, has intercepted four passes over the last two seasons. To me, this is we're going to set up times where our chess piece, our blitz, our overcommit, our TE game, our stunt, our, you know, rub where the tackle is going to do this, we're going to loop around, we're going to force a quick action from the offense. We'll force a predetermined response. They'll have to be hot because pressure is coming. You'll know that. We'll have talked about that, and you jump that. That's where our pick comes from. That's where this quarterback now has an automatic. When he sees X, we know Y. You'll be able to get up in there. I think because of his speed, I think there's the playmaking gene. I don't know if it's 100 out of 100. I'm not saying he's Troy Polamalu. They don't make many of that guy. But I think Nick Cross can play. And I think he's an afterthought because they drafted Styles, because they paid, because they played OA $1 trillion or whatever. Everyone's focused on that, and they should be. That's where the rubber will meet the road. He plays so far off the ball, you may or may not notice. I think he'll be in the box sometimes. I think he'll be able to run around sometimes. I think they've got Revo out there because he's the steadiest of Eddies in human history. They're not going to ask him to be dynamic, but they will ask Cross to be. I think Nick Cross could have a really good season. And I feel like nobody cares and no one's talked about it and no one's really saying anything in that regard. Now, I'm not predicting. I'm not calling for, you know, he'll be the Pro Bowl starter at safety. But I think that dude might be a pretty good fit here.
Yeah, no, I think he's going to have a big season. And he's going to be a big reason why. When I talk about that secondary, they haven't given up big plays in camp. He's a big reason why. Just that communication on the back end, being able to be so versatile. You know, one play he's playing deep safety, another play he's blitzing off the edge, right? Like his ability to play all over the defense, I think, is vital. And he's a big reason why I understand that the consensus rankings around the national media are quite low on their secondary, I feel a lot better when Nick Cross is on the field. If he weren't, I think I would be right in line with them saying that it's almost alarm bells going off at who they're going to be trotting out there in the secondary. But I think with his ability to do a little bit of everything and also his communication on the back end, I think he's going to help out a lot. I mean, just seeing him out on the practice field, he's been impressive. And so I could co-sign that, by the way, also. I think top three practice swag of anybody, Nick Cross.
What do you mean?
Just the way that he looks, his get-up on a day-in, day-out basis. Practice swag.
What are we talking about? Visor? Are we talking about like wrist guard, wristbands? Like,
now, Diggs might have taken his spot because his visor is the coolest of anybody out at practice, but he's got the old man swag where he's a vet and you know it. So one day, if they're not in pads, he might be wearing cut-off sweatpants. He might be rocking the hoodie under the jersey, even though it, somehow in Ashburn, guys are wearing this 85 and it's humid and they're wearing a hoodie. But he just looks cool the way that he comes out to practice. A little understated, not like flashy, not like yellow sleeves everywhere, but like an understated, hey, I'm here to play football and that's all that matters. Almost similar to how Bobby Wagner had a little unk look at practice.
Yes.
Not full unk, but like, I'm a vet, I'm established, I know what I'm doing, I don't need to stand out, but I'll stand out with my play type of practice
you
swag.
You don't want to be full unk. I am full unk, according to my children.
Yeah.
It's like whatever's past unk. I'm like unk plus, like turbo unk or something like that.
And have to pay extra for unk plus.
You never know. It's a steep discount. We're in the bargain bin. This is via the YouTube chat. You can check us out, 106.7 The Fan's YouTube page. We are live on camera in HD. I think it's an important public service message. I shared this with our guy Tay in the chat. I'm going to share this with you all as well. He was talking about going to Giordano's, which I would suggest. It's open now, not too far from Cap One Arena, downtown DC, Chicago-style pizzeria. And everybody likes to, not everybody, many people like to do this thing where they disparage deep dish pizza. And they, cause
I'm
they
not
think
a fan.
They think it's cool to do it. If you're not a fan, that's fine. I don't understand why you wouldn't be a fan.
I think it sucks.
Well, yeah, meat, bread, cheese, and sauce, it's amazing. And thank goodness for its presence. But people do this thing, cause they're like, it's not real pizza, it's like a, but whatever. And like, because you saw Jon Stewart do something about it 15 years ago. Anyway, here's my point. The point is this. He was talking about going there, and as I said to him, I'll say this to you guys. A public service announcement. You should go to Giordano's. It's great. But if there's a wait at all, order while you're waiting. They allow that to happen. Order in advance. Order while you're waiting. Because you'll get to your table and order, and the whole thing's going to take about an hour. It takes a long time to prepare the delicious deep dish pizza. It's worth waiting for, but I would wait. I would order while you wait. I didn't understand that, and you should understand that when you go. So if the very nice lady that's working there says, would you like to put it in your order, go ahead, like order ahead. I'm like, no, I'm eating here. She's like, no, she didn't, you know, it was busy. I didn't get it. It's my fault. Now I know. Order in advance. Okay? Everyone understand that? That's your public service announcement. Go to Giordano's. Get the one with all the meat. It's the best. It's great, but order in advance. That's what I got for you. Beltway Blitz at 4, but next, you know what time it is. 800-636-1067. How are you winning off the field? We don't do this for Strobes, quite frankly. It's not. It's not for Strobes. It's for Bruce Allen. It's for old Brucey Bruce, who was an abominable idiot, but he was in charge for a really, really long time. We do this to honor Bruce. We will win off the field. Teeny tiny moral victory going right in your day. Tell us about it right next, right here. Then what? It's Grant and Danny on the Fan. We will blitz. We're going to blitz. Don't worry. We're still doing it. That's next. Okay. But write meow at 800-636-1067. We're talking about Linney? I'm sure that's the thing we're talking about. Laura Linney. We're talking about actress Laura Linney. Little teeny tiny things that have gone right in your day that you'd like to tell us about. Most of the time, people wouldn't care, quite frankly. But up in here, we do. This is that time where we care about that little stupid thing that went well for you. I'll give you an example before I turn it over to you guys, right? Two separate times, just for this program, really within the first 2 hours, it's an hour and 45, 48, 49 now, minutes old, I have either been doing a Jordan Reed or just talking, and Darius has gone to commercial break before I was finished. Once... before the read was done, and the other, I had a mid-sentence, and as soon as it happened, he looked like he just farted in church and felt terrible about it, etc. So that's not a win off the field per se. We're fine. It's just I feel like now it's not going to happen again.
Yeah. I mean, that'd be fair to say.
Thank you, coach. So I guess therefore I am.
Winning off the field.
You see what I'm saying? Like, I think we got out of our system now.
Yeah, no. So one, you know, for me, it was cool. We were just talking in the break and, you know, sometimes you're just talking about different things and you know how it is in the normal course of action where sometimes you're just not paying attention to what someone's saying and you go, oh man, that's really cool. Or in your case, Ben Strober brings up something and you go, I like that. And it's clearly something that you don't like. I haven't had that happen today. Therefore I am.
Winning off the field.
So here's what happened. And this is totally true. I got called out and you guys were dead right about it. So I love the Little League World Series. We're watching. I brought up that there's this kid from Bayonne, New Jersey, who hit a walk-off bomb last night. And this kid is a stud. He's the coach's son. That's not why he's a stud, but he's a stud. Happens to be the coach's son. And they won their regional over a Connecticut team. And the Connecticut team said, not you. They walked him every time. And it was up to his teammates and ended up having this huge comeback win. They were down 4-0. Ended up winning, I think, in the last inning or extra innings, however it went. Unbelievable, dramatic. But they're playing Massachusetts last night, 1-1, and he walks it off with a bomb to center field. The kid's a stud. And so Little League World Series on television. Washington's playing Texas, and there was a Curacao. They beat Japan earlier. And Strober goes, I noticed there's been a lot of bleep talking in this Little League World Series. And I went, really? And he was like, yeah, there's been a bunch. And I kind of went, yeah, I like that. And Strober goes, no, you don't. You hate that.
And I called
went,
you out.
And I went, you know what? You're absolutely right. Why did I say that I liked it? I don't know why I said that I liked it. He's 100% correct. I hate that. Like, you could yell for your team and be excited.
No, but like, literally looking at the other dugout and chirping.
Yeah. We shouldn't be doing that at 11 or 12 years old.
But you said you liked it.
And I go, yeah, I like that. I like that. And he's like, no, you don't. I'm like, yeah, you're right. So I don't know why I said that. Anyway, 800-6.
Hey, it happens to all of us. And man, that conversation, I wish it would have ended 5 minutes ago. And you go, yeah, man, that's really cool. Thanks, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Me too. What? 800-636-1067. How are you winning off the field? Rich, the bat signal went up. Tell us about it, bud.
What's going on, boys? How you doing today?
Doing great,
good,
man.
Good, buddy.
So I'm in the second half of a 2-week no wife, no kid marathon.
What?
At the end of summer. It's been so quiet and so nice. I love them to death. So for the past 2 weeks, I have been.
Winning off the field?
It's the quiet. What you non-children having unmarried folk don't understand. Rich had to offer the caveat, just so you guys don't get all fatuzzed about it. Of course, you love them all so dearly. They're the most important things in your world. Mm-hmm. And everything you do is for them. When they're not there. And it's so peaceful. It's so quiet. You don't understand. It's like my best analogy. And again, it's not to call my wife and kids congestion, but it's like when you're congested and you take that hot shower and that airway opens up again. Yeah. You're like, oh my goodness gracious. Again, in that analogy, my wife and children are sinus congestion.
Yeah, that's pretty rough.
They're not. I love them so much.
Yeah.
But those... You don't know unless you know.
You gonna take some Mucinex?
The quiet is Mucinex. Dave and Raleigh, how are you winning off the field, sir?
Good. I'm actually a truck driver. I had a lot of very heavy deliveries today. Mm-hmm. Where I was going, it was supposed to be severe thunderstorms, lightning, torrential downpours all day.
Right.
And when it rains, my job is terrible. And all day I'm looking at the sky thinking, please hold off. As I make my last delivery, see my final payment, I walk in my truck. Here comes the lightning, here comes the rain. But your boys stayed nice and dry today. Therefore, I am.
Winning off the field.
I like that. Got it done before the rains came.
That's awesome.
Bargoff, Gaithersburg, how are you winning off the field, sir?
Well, so it was last summer, I believe, I called, and Danny, me and you bonded over the fact that we're, you know, just annoying know-it-alls. I know this, I know that. So
yes.
When it comes to our wives.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what I did? Over the two times over the last couple weeks, I uttered these six words. I was wrong. You were right. Just incredible development on my end. If I can do that, AJ can find a three ball. Thanks, guys.
Winning off the field.
Thank you, buddy.
Wow.
So that's a hard one for me. I understand his point. He created the peace that Rich got by his wife and children being out of town. saying I was wrong and you're right is the worst thing ever to have
accepting
to say.
That is tough.
But it also, whatever you have to do for it, I suppose. Rich Chesterfield, how are you winning off the field?
What's going on, fellas?
Hey, buddy.
I just reunited with a girlfriend after 45 years. We talked on the phone for about a year. I flew her here. It's all good. We're going to get married.
Whoa.
You know what? She's just as pretty as she was back in 1981. Therefore, I am definitely winning off the field.
Thank you, Rich.
Winning on the field.
Yeah. Congrats, buddy.
Winning on the field.
That's what that is. That's on field. That's a major milestone. First of all, the circling back after 45 years.
That's a long time to circle back.
We've been talking on the phone. Is this 1988? You've been, really? When's the last time you spoke on the phone consistently to anybody? The only time it's like, hey, you know, hey, Grant, you left your keys. You see what I'm saying? Like, what?
Yeah.
But again, that's awesome.
And winning on the field.
But exactly. We're very happy for you. But it is.
Winning on the field.
It's not off, it's.
Winning on the field.
Not off, but.
Winning on the field.
On. Andrew Stafford, how you want to.
Yeah, so winning on the field is right, and I'm pretty sure that's not the name of this segment.
That's
so
you right. Guys, thank you, Andrea.
Your listeners don't understand the rules, somehow, of winning off the field.
Mm-hmm.
Those are two lottery-level wins.
Yeah, so are you just calling to object to the previous call?
Yes, I am calling to complain because they're not doing it right.
I see.
And Grant's not there to do it for them.
I see.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Andrew. So, I like that. Some people wouldn't like that. I like that.
Calling in to tell you.
Andrew's like, listen, does that guy understand that he was wrong? And again, it sounds like we're not happy. We are very happy for you. I believe it was
you know,
Rich.
The culture
yeah.
is actually damn good.
In general, Bruce, it is. Yeah. He was sharing his good news. He's very happy. He wants to shout it from the mountaintops. I didn't have a mountain. I had a newsroom. Julian Fredericksburg, close us out. Julian.
Yes, sir.
You listen to us. Turn us down on the radio and speak to us. How are you, buddy?
Gotcha. Man, I love the show, man. I've been on before.
Yes.
I've talked to Grant, Coach B from Battlefield District, Janesville High School. Look, I'm a fan winning off the field. Check this out. My daughter called me earlier this week, mm-hmm. and she teaches in Loudoun County, fifth grade. She said, Dad, do you know Fred Smoot? I said, Fred Smoot, of course, the loud mouth of the South, boy, my favorite number 21. I'm an old Redskins fan.
Yes.
She said, I said, do you know him? She said, no. I said, well, why do you ask? She said, well, I have his son in my class, so therefore I am winning off the field.
Oh, I love that. That is very neat.
Winning on the field.
Is that on field?
Really?
Hold on, Bruce. Wait. So why? Why is that on field? There's no monetary gain. There's no major life kind of accomplishment there. There's no promotion. There's no milestone.
Winning off the field?
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah, I think so.
That's what I thought.
I think so.
I mean, far be it for me to question Bruce Allen in anything, because that's an expert.
Yeah, he knows.
Virginia's doing great.
Thank you, Governor. Beltway Blitz next. G&D here on The Fan.